Former Republican President George H.W. Bush will reportedly be voting for Hillary Clinton. That according to the daughter of the late Democratic Senator Robert Kennedy, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, who met with the 41st president in Maine yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to the show that really stinks. Odor Events, brought to you by Citrus Magic. Today, the Jones family will name all the odor events they can in 30 seconds. Ready? Go!
Rotten garbage can.
Yes, Molly.
Ew, musty basement.
Good. Jimmy.
Poopy diaper.
Yep. Haley.
Smelly socks.
Yes, Dave.
Stinky litter box.
Yes, Molly.
Ugh, funky fridge fumes.
Good. Jimmy.
Potty odor P.U.
Yes, Haley.
Dad's feet. Wait, cat pee.
You're out of time.
But
I'm sorry. See you again next week for...
That's squirrel.
Odor Events, the show that really stinks.
Get rid of the odor events in your home with Citrus Magic. The strength of its citrus makes odors disappear, leaving the fresh scent of natural citrus. Look for Citrus Magic in the air freshener aisle in Target, Kroger, Safeway, Publix, Walmart, and other fine stores everywhere.
More now on the investigation of the terrorist bombings over the weekend in New York and New Jersey. The suspect, Ahmad Khan Rahami, reportedly penned a note that was left in a plastic bag covering one of the devices that didn't explode. The note mentioning a number of past terrorist events, including the Boston Marathon attack. We're also learning that the 28-year-old Rahami, who was born in Afghanistan, made several extended trips to that country, as well as to Pakistan in recent years, where he apparently became radicalized. This friend since childhood says Rahami's personality and his religious beliefs changed after his visits to Afghanistan in recent years, though Flea Jones says the rest of Rahami's family didn't show any such signs of radicalization.
They actually was real nice. They never gave anybody no problems. I never seen nobody get angry.
A federal official saying during his most recent travels, Rahami stayed with family for nearly a year in Pakistan before returning to the U.S. in March of 2014. This is USA Radio News.
Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in store or online at RiteAid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
President Obama discusses the fight against ISIS with the Iraqi Prime Minister. Here's more from correspondent Tom Roberts.
President Obama says patience will be needed to free the Iraqi city of Mosul from ISIS.
Mosul is a large city, and ISIL has embedded itself deeply within that city.
Obama said he is confident that the battle against ISIS in Mosul will progress rapidly, but he admits it won't be easy because ISIS is so deeply embedded in the large city.
Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton speaking on a late-night TV show discussing her recent break from the campaign trail because of her bout with pneumonia.
So I took a few days off, and actually, I think it was good. I got a chance to sort of reflect on this crazy campaign that we're involved in.
On The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, Clinton also said as a little girl she never dreamed of becoming president of the United States.
No, I mean, it wasn't even within the realm of the possible for little girls back then. And that's what's so exciting about this campaign, because we have slowly but steadily knocked down all the barriers.
And from the file marked, what, they needed a study for that? Researchers say drinking beer makes people more sociable and lowers inhibitions. Swiss researchers giving healthy men and women alcoholic and non-alcoholic beer and finding that the beer drinkers ended up happier, showing more desire to be around other people, at least at first. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Good morning. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's 11:05 and time for Chamber Radio weather. It's currently 76 degrees with mostly sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. Looks like for the rest of today, partly sunny skies with a high near 84. For tonight, mostly clear with a low around 60. For tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny with a high near 87. Wednesday night, clear with a low of 51. Thursday, Friday, same thing, mostly sunny skies with a high in the mid to upper 80s. And then in the evenings, low in the mid to upper 50s. And then it looks like on Saturday, looking towards the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 70s. So it looks like that little bit of rain we had yesterday has left the area and nothing is expected anytime soon. So mostly sunny skies coming up over the next couple days. That's HuntertonChamberRadio.com weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, good morning. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's time for Some Things About Money. I'm Michelle Heidi. With me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heidi & Associates in Annandale, New Jersey. We're very excited for today's show. We have some guests on our show today, Chris Kellogg and Kelly McNamara from Nightingale, New Jersey. I was really excited when Chris came to me a few months ago and was sharing the business concept with me because this is an area that Joe and I have to deal with on a regular basis in terms of our clients. As we know, we're all getting older. Our kids are making us feel that way anyway. We may not feel like we're getting older, but many of us are in situations where perhaps we have children, we have parents. As we age, you know, certain things can happen, and there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed, both within the family and outside of the family. And so we're excited to have Chris and Kelly on our show here today. It's Healthy Aging Month this month of September. So hopefully our listeners are out doing things to stay healthy during Healthy Aging Month. So I guess the first place to start would be, Chris and Kelly, why don't you share a little bit with our listeners as far as tell us about your business and about yourselves.
Sure. Okay. We are, Chris and I have worked together for many years in the long-term care industry and saw a gap in the system with older adults, many of them ending up with rehospitalizations, readmissions, recurring illnesses, basically due to things that we felt could be prevented if someone was kind of keeping a closer eye on them, someone with proper training who was watching. So I am a registered nurse, again, in long-term care for many years, and Chris is a social worker. We had the pleasure of working together in a terrific facility in Somerset County, New Jersey for many years, and had been discussing the eventual starting of our own business over the last few years. And this year we just took the plunge. We thought it was time and took the plunge. And so we are elder care navigators. We help older adults. Our goal is to help older adults stay home safely, put things in place to keep them home for as long as they want, hook them up with support services in the community that are available to them that they may not be aware of, and also with their families to help them transition into other housing, whether it's with family or assisted livings or whatever, when and if the time arises. Help them find what's right for them.
Mm-hmm. Great. I know it's interesting, you know, as I mentioned in chatting with clients on a regular basis, you know, we talk about everything, and whenever we bring up the subject of, well, gee, what if something happens and you need care, whether it's care in the home, outside the home, and many people say, oh, our kids are going to take care of us. And Joe and I look at each other and we're like, oh, really? Have you discussed that with your kids?
Yeah, these are the same kids that always walked the dog when they were supposed to, and they always cleaned out the litter box, and, you know, not to mention changing the newspapers at the bottom of the birdcage. And they're going to take really good care of you, too, I'm sure.
My kids already told me that they were not planning on taking care of me, that I better come up with a plan. And they're only 10 and 11.
And mom says,
not
yes.
That I would have done that anyway.
You know, I already have long-term care insurance, so it's handled. And I'm not relying on you to make any decisions about me because you're my kids. I know you.
I think the truth is most kids truly do want to, of course, help their parents age well. But the role reversal, it can be very difficult, would be an understatement. And also what happens is as problems arise, as the adult child, your role becomes different. Suddenly you're providing medical advice and financial advice, and these are not your areas of expertise, and it really pulls away from your role as a son or daughter, which is the proper role, is to be son or daughter and to offer the love and support in those areas and let somebody else help do the other finances and legal and healthcare planning.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Because even, you know, even if someone does have a son or daughter who's in the medical field, again, do they have the time to take away from their own family, their own career, to take care of mom or dad or both?
Yeah, I mean, great intentions, but yeah. I mean, the reality is it isn't practical for them to even attempt it. I can't imagine that they could properly do the job.
You know, common sense and emotion just don't play well together.
Right.
You know, there's an old adage out there, be good to your children because they choose your nursing homes. And, you know, it's not intuitive. If anything, the medical settings and the loaded questions and the emotional ties that go along with those, it's important to have sometimes a third party unbiased opinion. And that's one of the things that we offer to our clients and their adult children as their elder care navigators. We never tell them, this is what you do. You say these, we explain to our clients that this is what the options are and this is the rationale why. So all the decisions that are made are informed decisions for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Important. I know. And as you mentioned, in terms of, you know, this was the right time for the business, it's definitely timely. I mean, I remember back, gosh, this was quite a few years ago when my grandmother, my mom's mother, needed some care. And so my mom had a sister and two brothers. And of course, the sisters, you know, as women, we tend to be, you know, the automatic caregivers, although not in all cases. But my mom said it was interesting because at that point, her brothers, you know, my mom and her sister said, well, you know, mom really needs to be in a facility because she has Alzheimer's, she has some issues, and we really need her where professional help is there, the medical professionals. And the brothers were like, oh, no, you know, mom's going to move in, you know, with one of the brothers. And so, you know, he took her into his home. He had to make some adjustments to his home. And then he quickly realized, gee, I don't have any experience in dealing with any of this. And so then it was back on my mom's shoulders. And so there was, you know, fortunately, nothing ever got too ugly, but there was definitely some, it was really difficult for the siblings to try and figure out, you know, again, based upon emotions and common sense and what's really the best for their mom, and in this case, my grandmother. You know, so nowadays, again, I'm happy for this type of business, because I think it's something, again, that allows the two of you and those within your organization as the objective professionals to come in and help families address all of these issues, making sure that, you know, first and foremost, whoever requires care is getting the care that they need based upon what their individual situation is.
Right. Yeah, when there's, of course, it's always stressful when there's one child who then, of course, everything falls to.
Right.
But it can be equally as stressful, I think, when there are multiple children or siblings all trying to come to consensus on what the right thing is, because we all do have different ideas on what the right thing is. And it is, and we all have different relationships with our parents. So it's difficult. Everybody really, truly, I believe, for the most part in this world, wants to do the right thing.
Right.
But what that right thing is different from different perspectives. And fortunately, Chris is awesome at being able to sit down with, you know, family members and really hear them out and speak back to them and kind of use their own words to help show them where they might be putting some of their own biases, or just also really trying to illuminate for them what the client, which is, you know, the senior citizen, the parent, whoever, the spouse, the parent that they're talking about, what right. that person really has expressed as their wish. And that right. should always be what's, you know, what takes precedence.
No, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to take our first break. So I have to cut us off for just a moment. And when we get back, I want to share with our listeners how to get in touch with the two of you. And then we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Again, we're excited to have guests with us today, Kelly McNamara and Chris Kellogg from Nightingale, New Jersey. And before we get back into our conversation, we want to share some information on an event coming up right around the corner that they're one of the sponsors of.
And I'm going to do that in a second, but I think we ought to do a market update first, Michelle. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 18,195. That's up almost 76 points. The S&P 500 currently sits at 2146, up 7.74. And the NASDAQ is at 5253, up about 18 points. You know, stocks moving higher as the Fed and Bank of Japan are kicking off their meetings. People are hoping for no movement. And over in Europe, the FTSE is up 31 points. The DAX is up 45. The CAC 40 is up a little bit over 5 points. Oil prices are at $43.94 a barrel. That's up about 1.48%. And gold at $13.18.50 an ounce, up 70 cents an ounce. The 10-year Treasury, yield curve flattening as the Fed and Bank of Japan get ready to meet. The yield is currently sitting at 1.67%. So that's the market update, but we do also have some news as it relates to seniors. 100 and Helpline, Division of Seniors and Disability Services. Well, let's see. They want you to come out on September 25th and join them for Power On for Seniors at Pine Creek Miniature Golf in Ringo's. That's going to be at 11 a.m. They want you to bring the family, staff, colleagues, and congregants and really have a great time playing putt-putt while supporting all of the free programs and services of 100 and Helpline, Division of Seniors and Disability Services. Gifts for all and prizes will be provided.
All right. I wish I could be there, and I might have to sneak away from the soccer game because when Jack and I played mini golf on vacation this year, I got 3 holes in 1.
Wow. Very lucky. I don't know.
Gotta
keep that momentum going.
Yeah, and you were asking for strokes, too, I bet.
There's also another event coming up, again, keeping with the theme of Healthy Aging Month. On Sunday, October 9th, in Princeton at ETS, the Alzheimer's New Jersey Walk to Fight Alzheimer's. Registration begins at 8:30, kickoff rally at 9:30. The walk itself is at 10 o'clock. Come out and definitely do some walking for a very good cause. Hoping to attend that one as well. So, all right, we're back. What should we talk about next? There are so many things that we can talk about in terms of things that you folks can help our listeners with navigating the whole realm of elder care.
Well, probably the first thing we ought to do is remind our listeners how to reach them.
That's a great idea. So how can our listeners get in touch with you? Should they phone number, website, best way to contact you?
All of the above.
All of the above. Well, the website's not quite up and running. There is a little bit of a landing page, but it's still under construction right now. But you can reach us at info@nightingalenj.com. So NIGHTINGALENJ.com. Or 908-452-6644 is the main number for us.
All right. Excellent. And we're going to have you back on our show again in a few months. We'll share that at the end of our show. So stay tuned to the Pat and Heidi and Associates Facebook page where we'll be sharing that information as well as any additional information on programs that you'll be providing in the community. Again, I think one of the keys out there is we're big proponents of is education. There's so much information out there and so much misinformation out there. And sometimes people feel a little overwhelmed. They don't even know where to begin in terms of accessing resources or what to do. You know, unfortunately, many people don't address an issue until it becomes, you know, a fire. It's like, oh my gosh, something's happened. What do we do? And I think realistically, what can people do in advance to start planning? You know, so as you mentioned, you know, figuring out what potentially your client, what their wants and needs are based upon what's important to them, you know, before they get to that stage perhaps where they can't make any decisions for themselves.
Right. Many times we are asked to come aboard in the care planning after a crisis has occurred. We can always assist the senior and the adult child in trying to put pieces back together. But what we would eventually like to be able to do is to be seen as a elder care attorney or a estate planner so that the clinical side is all planned out. You have the optimal scenario, the possible scenario, and the scenario that people may not want to be able to talk about. But talking about loaded questions are always challenging. Again, emotions can run hot, and it's always better to have these conversations when there's no immediate challenges. The difference between a case manager is someone that you work with after a change in status in a hospital setting versus a care manager is a case manager after someone falls or has a status change such as a heart attack or congestive heart failure. They have a conversation with the client. The bad news is you fell, you fractured your hip. The good news is you're stable. The bad news is you're so stable that you need to leave the hospital, by the way, in 24 or in 6 hours. A care manager is the one constant. We know what your values are. We advocate for you whether you want to stay home. We bring outside services in. We screen those outside services for our clients. We act as a fiduciary. When we make referrals to outside companies, we do not receive any financial planning or finances in return. There's no quid pro quo. We work exclusively for our clients. We follow them to the emergency room. Sometimes that if there's a change in status, we have many clients that have their loved ones outside the county or outside the state that, listen, I want to make sure that if mom has a change in status, she's not by herself, that no someone they know and they're comfortable with, but also being able to advocate. Fast forward a day down the line when you are a client of Nightingale NJ Elder Care Navigators, we have everything in plan that if there's a change in status, we know what subacute status you're going to go to, what local facility. You have your option A, your option B, your option C. So there's no immediate answers that are necessary. Then we can follow you to that subacute. So if there's a care plan meeting, making sure that there's a translation. This is what was said, but this is what it means to you right now. And then also following, making sure that there are services back home, that yes, you're able to walk 200 feet with a rolling walker, but what is the condition of your house after that change of status? You're able to walk 200 feet with a rolling walker, but are you able to empty out your refrigerator and throw out all the food? And by the way, is there a replenishment? Is there medications in place that you're going to have? The visiting nurses that are a very valuable point in the healthcare continuum, if you leave on Friday, they may not be able to get out there until Monday. We are the one, as healthcare managers and elder care navigators, the constant in the healthcare continuum. And we make sure that there are gaps and we fill them so that there's no knee-jerk reaction. So all the decisions that are made, they're informed decisions so people can go forward and have control. Because at the end of the day, when there's control, there's dignity. And when everyone has dignity, we win. And for the adult children involved, we offer them peace of mind.
Yeah, I can imagine that, you know, there isn't anyone listening to this show today not thinking about some of the elderly members of their own family and all of the issues that they're going to have to deal with at some point down the road, if not already. And, you know, it's great to know that there are people like you out there who can provide this service. But at the same time, you know, having the conversation with mom and or dad would probably be best had at a time where all of the family members are together, maybe at a Thanksgiving when dad's standing up there over the turkey with the knife slicing away. But then again, you may not want to ask dad about the nursing home when he has the knife in the hand.
valid point.
But at the same time, there's also the question of, you know, how are we going to be able to afford this? Because, you know, as we were talking before the show started, right now the median net worth of Americans over the age of 75, not including their house, is just over $20,000. So, you know, $20,000 doesn't go a long way when it comes to healthcare expenses in this country today, especially now where the average couple, Michelle, goes through, I guess, in premiums, deductibles, copays, somewhere in the vicinity of $200,000. So not a lot of money left over for these types of services. So what is the family to do?
Very good questions. There are many programs outside in the community. Hunterdon County is very fortunate to have programs like the Office on Aging, like the Hunterdon Helpline. What people really need to change the mindset instead of the spending down process is turn. And what we offer for our clients as navigators, we help them stay the course, but we can also help them navigate through the changes. Having people, if you have truly less than $50,000 in your bank account as liquid assets, I would encourage people to reach out to the Office on Aging. Having people reach out to us, start the Medicaid planning sooner rather than later. There are many different types of Medicaid. Many people don't know that there's three different types of Medicaid. You have community that can help you pay for physicians to medications to assisted living that can supplement and also pay for that to the nursing home component. But a lot of these things take time. There is a background to accumulate the necessary documentation to show that you are not just medically eligible, but also financially eligible. And again, it's a lot better to start going forward. There's programs out there like PAD that have availability for paying off medications, or Senior Gold. There is a lot of valuable programs, but it takes time to start the application form. And Hunterdon and actually Somerset counties are fantastic about working to keep their independence seniors independent and making it so that, like what we do, to have their voices be heard. But all of it, time is of the essence. Right when you think, I think it might be ready, we might be ready to go forward and contact. If I was a betting man, I would have encouraged you to do that 6 months ago.
Right.
Because the worst thing, if you are proactive and you reach out to a group like Nightingale NJ or Hunterdon County's Office on Aging or Hunterdon Helpline, the worst thing you're going to do is become an informed consumer.
You know, I can remember early in my nursing career, just, you know, being on a general med-surg floor, and one of the things we had to ask our patients all the time was, do you want to be coded? You know, do you want to be resuscitated if your heart stops? Now, this is sometimes with somebody who really wasn't at any high risk for having their heart stop, but it was one of the things we had to have on the chart back in the day, and it's still one of the important things to know. But, you know, there you have somebody who's in the hospital. They're already nervous, sick. They're not feeling well. And you're saying, hey, do you want to be coded? And they're thinking, oh, my God, how sick am I?
Right.
So is there something you're not telling me? And in particular, if you have somebody over the age of 65 and you start doing that and asking them those questions, they're really going to get nervous. And so the time to, and this goes to your comment earlier, Joe, you know, the time to have the conversation is at Thanksgiving dinner or when you're having a glass of wine or a cup of coffee, whatever it is, you know, when everybody's healthy. Yeah, that's when you want to find out. All right, so let's just talk about all that ugly stuff and find out, because it is very empowering for all parties concerned to know, well, you know, this is what I would like done, this is what I wouldn't, or I haven't thought about that. So let's start doing some research. Let's get educated about it. And, of course, there are always gray areas, but the more families talk about it, the better the chance that when you actually do have to make decisions for a loved one, you can rest easy with the idea that you actually have done the best that you possibly could.
Right.
Because you discussed it as much as possible and did the due diligence in terms of research. So that's what you want, to just know, I did everything I could.
Absolutely. Because as we all know, you know, sometimes people are afraid to have those conversations. Oh, I don't want to rock the boat. No, you know, I don't want mom or dad to think that we're being too nosy. Well, you know, isn't it better to at least have these discussions? Yeah, they may be a little uncomfortable, but at least, again, knowing while everyone is still pretty healthy, knowing what the goals are, what the wishes are, so that when you are facing a very emotional time, like you mentioned, you know that you're doing the best that you can, making those good decisions for everyone.
And right? The right choice of words are vitally important by having those conversations. You don't want to start off with conversations saying, listen, you fell twice this year. You were in the hospital three times. You want to start off with the conversation of, I love you. I want to know what is important to you. I want to make sure when that time comes, your values are heard. And I am aware, because at the end of the day, if you are not able to make those, it's going to come to me. I love you. What can I do to make sure that your voice is heard?
A lot of families go through that conversation, and I can just hear my own mother saying, "Don't worry about it. We have it all taken care of. No, not a big problem." Well, it is a big problem, and when we have conversations with our clients about this very issue, my recommendation to them after a couple of questions would be, let your parents know that if they're expecting you to have power of attorney and act on their behalf, or if you're named executor or executrix of the estate, well, there's certain inherent responsibilities that you're assuming filling those roles, and parents should understand that you can't fill the role the way it needs to be filled unless they are willing to have that conversation with you about what they want you to do. You're giving me legal responsibility to make these decisions, yet you have yet to share with me what those decisions should be. What do you want? So, yes, I love you, but hey, you know, you just named me on a legal document to be in control and responsible. What is it that I'm in control of and responsible for and to? I need to know what you want so I can do it. And I find that to be a little bit more effective because, you know, now you're taking the emotion and the love out of the conversation when parents use that to try to put you off so they don't have the conversation. But when you bring it back to the fact that your name is listed on a legal document that they signed, well, they don't want to hurt you by not telling you what it is you're supposed to do.
Right.
So, you know, they tend to have that conversation after they've put you on the spot.
There's also the conundrum of this generation, the older generation that we have currently, still feels very strongly about, I'm going to do whatever my doctor tells me to do.
Oh, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and, you know, as we know, this healthcare system just gets more and more complicated every day. And so the doctor you have today, you may not have then. So it's, you know, the days of one doctor following a patient for many, many years is coming to an end, oftentimes. And plus, they're inundated themselves. They have so many patients in order to make things work. Right. They have so many patients, it's very hard for them to keep track of everything. And they can't keep track of all the ins and outs of the things that are important to you and your family. And so, you know, for an older adult to say, for a senior to say to their kids, just do whatever my doctor says, or I'm going to do whatever my doctor says, what happens oftentimes, and we, you know, have come across this numerous times in our work, is that the doctor is saying, well, I was just trying to do what I thought they wanted. And so they're kind of at cross purposes. No one's really communicating clearly about what it is that is.
Yeah, that's the what should I do versus what do I want conversation.
Right.
The doctor really isn't, and they don't expect the doctor to tell them what they want.
Right.
And I think that's what really is important, too.
It all goes down to what is one's definition of quality of life, especially if you're speaking about medical circumstances. My definition of quality of life is when I see my loved ones, I'm not able to recognize their name, but I know I'm around someone that loves me and cares for me. Or my definition of quality of life is having my eyes closed, unconscious, but able to go on another day. One is not better than the other. Everybody's entitled to their own definition. Mm-hmm. But along the lines of what Joe said, if you are tasked with that responsibility, you need to make sure that you know what that is, but also you're comfortable making those decisions. Sometimes we've had people, I know what my loved one wants, but that's not what I want. Well, that's a whole other, those scenarios do come up.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
So
yeah.
It's better to have this conversation ahead of time. Listen, I'm not ready for that conversation. I don't want to, but if your name is on that line, exactly what Joe said, it's time to have that conversation.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour check of the news and weather, and then we'll be back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100andchamberradio.com.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Days after the United States has to apologize for a mistaken airstrike on Syrian troops, there's international outrage after warplanes attack a United Nations convoy that was carrying life-saving aid to thousands of people in Syria, and this time it's not the United States-led coalition that's suspected. The attack happened just hours after the Syrian government declared that a week-old ceasefire is over, and the Republican chairman of the House Foreign Affairs panel, Ed Royce, says Syria was to blame.
And in the first hours of that ceasefire, we saw the Syrian Assad regime violate it 30 times. And then we saw their Air Force attack the humanitarian relief supplies that were coming in.
The State Department stopping just short of blaming Syria or Russia for the attack, but says in a statement both countries knew where that convoy was headed. This is USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control. Ground crew is secure. Over.
Copy that, Control. Rocket's powering up. Over.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative, Control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly and seamlessly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
Copy that, QL1. That is fast, like rocket fast. Do you think that's why they named it Rocket Mortgage? Over.
Affirmative, Control. That's probably why they named it Rocket Mortgage. It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose.
Roger that, QL1. So technically speaking, you could get a Rocket Mortgage at rocket speed from inside an actual rocket?
Please just press the button, Control. Over.
Copy that, QL1.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
All right. It is 11:40. Want to do a quick check of the weather. It's currently 76 degrees with sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. And I probably sound like a broken record, but it sounds like the next couple of days are going to be mostly sunny skies with highs in the 80s. And as we get closer towards the end of the week, looks like more seasonable temperatures, sunny and high in the upper 70s. So let's get back to some things about money here on 100inchamberradio.com. We were talking over the break about, again, you know, from a family perspective, just making sure that you're heard. And this should be done well in advance of an event or a crisis happening. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, to share a personal story. So I have two sisters. My parents are both still alive. They're both in their 70s. And my father was diagnosed with early stages of Parkinson's about a year and a half ago. So overall, he's relatively healthy. He doesn't like to drive. He drives, you know, to two places that he's comfortable driving with. And when I ran into my older sister a few weeks ago, she said, "I really don't think Dad should be driving anymore." And I said, "Well, you know, I somewhat agree. He won't drive with other people in the car. He won't drive the grandkids around or anything." I said, "But, you know, he still wants to have some independence." She said, "Well, I think it's because maybe Mom's afraid that if she takes the keys away, she'll have to take them everywhere. And maybe that will, you know, adjust her lifestyle." I said, "Well, I think this is probably a conversation we all need to have, because maybe Dad is still okay to drive. Maybe he's not, but maybe we should bring somebody in to have that conversation to help us determine, you know, A, while everybody, again, as you mentioned, everybody's still healthy and able to make good decisions. We have an idea of what my mom would want to see happen if anything happened to her and my dad is still living, but we really haven't heard from my dad in terms of if something happened, you know, and vice versa. So I'm guessing that now is probably the best time to bring in folks like the two of you to sit down with the family and have these types of conversations again, you know, now that some issues are starting to come up. But again, nothing that's, you know, too out of the ordinary, but at least we can be proactive in terms of addressing what some of the needs and things might be.
You know, you're absolutely right. Starting sooner is the way to go, but to also put in rewind is that just because the situation of driving is so much more than just getting from point A to point B. It is your ticket to ride. That is your ticket to independence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important that this is another loaded conversation.
Right.
That everybody has fierce beliefs. And one thing that we do for our clients that we've had is that we go and educate the family. We educate the senior themselves. We have a contract that after that educational purpose and having people understand that it's not just yourself, it's the other drivers
right.
going around, and there's merging, vision, strength, response time. There are different places out there that we can put you in contact with so that if you pass this test, and it's not through directly through the state of New Jersey, but there's different hospitals that offer driving tests for seniors. Oh. There are lots of questions, but there are also a lot of really good answers out there.
Right.
You can bring through family mediation that, again, a non-threatening third party to being able to put the informed decisions out there. So for that scenario,
right,
Dad, I'm not ready to give up. Loved ones, we're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it to another party to say, you know, again, there's an obstacle course. And it's
right.
Strength of pushing down the pedal, reflex time, vision. There's a checklist. And it's valuable to both sides.
Right. Absolutely.
You brought up another interesting point, though, which is the impact on your mom.
Right.
So, you know, these diseases that are so common, not so common, but that we're commonly running into.
Right.
Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, these things that affect us physically as well as cognitively, they don't just happen to the person that is being diagnosed. And, you know, if your dad had been diagnosed with cancer, your mother, the whole family would be saying, oh, what kind, what stage, which doctor, what specialist, what treatments, what medications, what is our plan?
Right.
But when someone's diagnosed with one of the dementias and even, you know, something like Parkinson's, everybody just sort of freezes. They don't say what stage, what specialist, what treatments, what's out there. They tend to keep going to their general practitioner or their primary physician who is, you know, maybe perfectly wonderful at what they do. But like any other diagnosis, this is, you know, these things require specialists. There are people that really are really well-trained and well-versed in the diseases of the elderly, and that's who should, you know, families should be consulting. But also in terms of the partner and the children, these things have a huge impact on your life. And Alzheimer's diagnosis, that can be a 10 to 15 to 20 year impact on a family, as opposed to, say, cancer, where you're getting, and not at all to minimize, obviously, the impact of cancer on a family. But, you know, where there's tends to be more proscribed time, you know, impact.
Right.
These Alzheimer's and Parkinson's impact the families for a long time, and it is very difficult, very stressful on, in particular, a spouse who maybe has promised never to put the person in a nursing home. You know, you make all these great promises that often cannot be kept.
Well, not just from an emotional standpoint, but, you know, you look at the impact on a financial standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way the rules are written, the laws are made, what you believe is individually owned assets becomes treated as community property, made available for use when one of the spouses is in need. It kind of speaks to a lot of the misinformation out there as it relates to what insurance covers and what it does not cover. Could you tell us a little bit about what's going on financially vis-a-vis the Affordable Care Act or any other insurances? I mean, what are some of the misconceptions out there as it relates to what insurance covers and what it doesn't cover?
How that works is you hear theory versus execution. Unfortunately, I think it's really important to use an example to purchase a hospital bed. You need to have the clinical documentation that's written down by either the physical therapist, occupational therapist, nurse. Then you need to have the doctor document the need for a hospital bed to go home. Then you need to have the prescription by the doctor. And you need to be able to have all of this written out and then pass that on. There are so many T's and that need to be crossed. There's so many I's that need to be dotted.
And this would be for
general Medicare.
Okay.
With the Affordable Payment Act, you know, it's important that you plan for, and this is my mantra for all of our clients and their loved ones, is that you plan for the worst case scenario, but you hope for the best. You need to make sure that your documentation is clearly represented. You need to go to a person that's an expert for Medicare D, that by choosing the right ancillary service for what pharmacy I'm going to use, there's different options. You could choose one option that's going to cover 100% of 8 out of 12 of your medications. Well, if you choose the wrong one, out of your 12 medications, only 2 of them are covered. That could be hundreds to knocking on the door of thousands of dollars a day. You need to have someone filter, these are my meds, which one is best for me? Again, making informed decisions.
Yeah, you just justified hiring people like yourselves in order to ensure that all of this is done not just properly, but affordably.
I was just going to say, I also know that, and you know, this, I don't know who is an expert anymore in this, in management of insurance and money when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, because and health care, because it's changing all the time and different people interpret things differently, and mm-hmm. it's all very confusing, and it's a very fluid system right now,
it seems to me. It's confusing to the four of us sitting in this room.
Right.
Imagine how an 85-year-old feels about it.
Right. So what I do know, what I am seeing is that hospitals and subacute facilities, and I'm sure acute care facilities, the way payments, the way they receive payments, it's all bundled payments, and the whole way the government is reimbursing through Medicare is changing. And so the impact on the client, on these older adults, is tremendous, because what's happening is the say in a subacute facility, they have to be incredibly diligent and very careful about how long they keep someone on Medicare. In the old days, everybody always said, oh, I have 100 days of Medicare and the first 20 days are free, wahoo.
Right.
And all we needed to do was sort of clinically support that. But that, and although the benefit is still there, the ability of a facility to provide care under your Medicare benefit is very different, because if they do it wrong, and if, say, that person goes home and then it, within a certain amount of time, gets readmitted to a hospital, even for something else, Medicare can come back and take payment away from the, even though they've paid the bill, they can then come back at the end of the year, the reckoning, they can remove payments, because obviously that person should not have gotten sick again. So it's all very confusing, and I think they're all kind of looking over their shoulder about how, is this, you know, did we do enough in terms of documentation and therapy and whatever else, you know, they need to do. So it's a very stressful environment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's as you mentioned, it's constantly changing, and it's hard for anyone, you know, to keep up with. The four of us are professionals, you know, on the financial side, on the healthcare side, and even it's even confusing to us at certain mm-hmm. times. You know, it would be nice for things to become at least a little bit more simplified.
Hmm.
But I don't know if we'll see that in our lifetime. But again, I think it all falls down to, you know, having listeners, have clients, getting as much information as they can from reliable sources so that they can make the best decisions based on the information that they have.
We've heard from general practitioners saying, I don't know what the medications are that the cardiologist is doing. Medicine's gotten very compartmentalized. These are the medications that I'm providing my client, but doesn't know what the medications the cardiologist is providing, the pulmonologist is providing, the pain specialist. Looking behind the green curtain, the most important person in community healthcare is your pharmacist.
Absolutely.
And you better hope that you are going to one pharmacist, because if you're going to one chain versus another, there's no cross. And one medication, again, I was a betting man, may not play well with another, mm-hmm. and you could have a much greater risk. What we do is make sure that for our clients there's medical portals, so all active players are involved, have access to this is the medications, so everybody can go on. We can attend doctor's appointments. What is said versus what it means.
Right.
This is what you told your daughter. Let's make sure. What are we taught at an early age? How are you today? Fine. Well, did you show Dr. Smith your foot? No, you know how hard it is for me to get my shoes and socks on. Why am I going to take that off in the doctor's office? These are done. You can't make these things up, but this is the
right.
rationale.
Yeah.
Nope, absolutely. I always say, and I volunteer on a nonprofit wellness organization, and they have a they call it a health portfolio class. It's basically a binder, and a lot of people do this online now, but basically all of your information in there, and every time you go to the doctors, you know, any questions you have to make sure you don't forget, because then we get in front of the doctor like, ooh, we're here in front of the expert, and then you leave, you're like, oh darn, I forgot to ask about such and such, and then to try and track that doctor down to ask that question is very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Average doctor's appointment is 7 minutes long. Make sure that you utilize
absolutely. Absolutely.
Take the power back.
Right. And as you said, as a senior, don't ask a sibling or a friend to go along as a second set of ears, so that, you know, we often interpret things differently. The doctor may say one thing and you might think they mean one thing, and the person with you, just again, to kind of have that, you know, making sure that you fully understand what's been discussed and that all of your questions are answered and things like that.
Correct.
All right. Wow. It's 11:55. This time has flown by. We have just a few minutes left to wrap things up. So we're going to have you back again in November. So we'll ask our listeners if there are any questions that they may have, you know, to reach out to us in our office at 908-713-6600. We'll keep them for the next show, and or we'll relay them to the two of you. If they want to contact you directly, is there a number that they can reach you on?
908-452-6644.
Okay.
Excellent.
And in wrapping things up, you know, are there maybe one or two things that you'd like to share with the audience as far as things that they should definitely put on their to-do list over the next couple of days in regards to the topic that we talked about today?
Make sure that you go to your doctor regularly. It's important that you don't wait until things are bigger. Make sure you please go and have your yearly physical, your checkup, and ask questions. Healthcare is much like buying a new car. You want to test it. You want to ask the questions. You want to make sure that everybody's on the same page so, again, your voice is heard. Your values are respected.
Absolutely.
Take a deep breath, get some exercise in, and laugh a lot is what I would say for Healthy Aging Month.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I think we should all get some laughs in and get some walks in. The weather's definitely getting much more seasonal out there, and I know I've been getting out more with my family. And, get your parents out for a walk. We all take our dogs for a walk. Let's get the families out for a walk again. Get our families out for mini golf.
That's not
on Sunday.
I was just
thinking, yeah. Mini golf on Sunday at Pine Creek at 11 o'clock, and then we have the Alzheimer's Walk again on Sunday, October 9th. Many other events going on. You know, the key is, as you mentioned, get out, have fun, laugh a lot, and then when it comes time for the serious stuff, just making sure that you're having those conversations. They might seem a little difficult and uncomfortable, but at least having those decisions well in advance will make for a much better outcome for everybody. So we want to thank you for being on our show today. We're excited to have you back again in November. It'll be here before we know it. I hate to say that, but
thank you both.
Thank you for
thanks
having
again.
Us.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Have a great day, great week. Don't forget to buy local and buy Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Days after the United States has to apologize for a mistaken airstrike on Syrian troops, There's international outrage after warplanes attack a United Nations convoy that was carrying life-saving aid to thousands of people in Syria, and this time it's not the United States-led coalition that's suspected. The attack happened just hours after the Syrian government declared that a week-old ceasefire is over, and the Republican chairman of the House Foreign Affairs panel, Ed Royce, says Syria was to blame.
And in the first hours of that ceasefire, we saw the Syrian Assad regime violate it 30 times, and then we saw their air force attack the humanitarian relief supplies that were coming in.
The State Department stopping just short of blaming Syria or Russia for the attack, but says in a statement both countries knew where that convoy was headed. This is USA Radio News.
Focus. You need it to run a business, so don't let legal questions distract you. Use LegalZoom instead. Things like lease agreements and employment laws get complicated, but they're part of running a business. That's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys in 48 states. You can rely on them for the legal details without paying by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So focus on growing your business and use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories?